Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending March 13th. My name is Alan Nguyen.
And I'm Allison Granke.
And we'll be bringing you the latest news in environmental health and safety. And Allison, I believe you have a story for us about a factory collapse in Bangladesh.
So the roof of a five-story factory collapsed on Thursday afternoon in Bangladesh, killing at least five people, injuring dozens, and trapping many more under the rubble. Approximately 150 workers were on duty when the collapse occurred, according to one fire official, and the cause of the collapse is being investigated, but it appears that the factory was under construction and only partially built. Unfortunately, this is just the latest in a series of many deadly incidents that have taken place in recent years in Bangladesh factories and other buildings. As recently as January of this year, 13 people were killed in a Bangladesh factory fire, and more than a dozen others suffered minor burns. And the most disastrous factory incident in recent history was the collapse of the Rana Plaza nearly 2 years ago now, on April 24th, 2013. So more than 2,400 people were saved by rescuers, but sadly over 1,100 died. This tragedy drew a lot of attention to the poor working conditions in Bangladesh, which is emerging as a new hub for labor-intensive industries. Many big clothing brands make their clothes in Bangladesh, where thousands of garment factories employ workers at minimum wage for around $68 per month. Since the Rana Plaza disaster, new laws have been passed to allow workers to create unions, and the International Labor Organization has worked with the government of Bangladesh and employer and worker organizations to coordinate inspections and provide technical support, such as training and logistics. So the Bangladeshi government has more than doubled the number of factory inspectors this year, according to Saeed Ahmed, who is the head of the factory inspection department. But although inspectors hired by the retailers and the government have inspected more than 2,000 export-oriented factories, according to the authorities, there are thousands more that remain uninspected. And many of these plants continue to have very poor safety standards and do not have the necessary firefighting equipment or other resources to be able to respond effectively to dangerous incidents. So while there may have been some positive steps taken in the past year or two, it's still quite clear that there's more work to be done to ensure the safety of workers in this country in the future. So Alan, you have a story about FDA releasing a mobile app to identify drug shortages?
Yeah, so the Food and Drug Administration, also known as the FDA, recently launched its first ever mobile application, specifically designed to speed public access to valuable information about drug shortages. The app is available as a free download for Apple and Android users. The information that is readily available will identify current drug shortages, resolved shortages, and discontinuations. The app will also supply up-to-date information so that necessary treatment options can be determined. It's part of the FDA's, quote, strategic plan for preventing and migrating drug shortages, which was launched last October. Drug shortages have a major impact on healthcare professionals, pharmacists, and patients alike, and can delay or even deny necessary care requirements for patients. So being able to know whether or not a particular drug is available ahead of time will allow for a more proactive response. According to officials, the app will allow users to look up a particular drug by its name, active ingredient, or therapeutic category, and they can also report suspected shortages or other issues to the FDA. The FDA also cites that there were 117 new drug shortages in 2012, 84 of which involved sterile injectable drugs, and 44 shortages in 2013. While those numbers show a marked decrease over the previous years, the FDA is seeing problems with older sterile injection drugs, including those used for cancer treatment, anesthetics for patients undergoing surgery, emergency medicines, and type 4 electrolytes. The FDA also noted that it was able to prevent 282 drug shortages in 2012 and 170 in 2013. And if you're looking to download the app, it can be found by searching, quote, FDA drug shortages on iTunes or Google Play. And Allison, I believe you have a story for us about OSHA announcing its final rule on retaliation complaints.
So this week, OSHA published a final rule related to how whistleblower retaliation complaints will be handled. This rule governs employee protection claims filed under Section 806 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, also known as the SOX Act. OSHA is responsible for enforcing the whistleblower provisions of SOX and 21 other statutes that protect employees who report violations of workplace regulations, from food safety, motor vehicle safety, airline, pipeline, and railroad safety, and many more safety regulations. So OSHA Chief Dr. David Michaels said this week that silencing workers who who try to do the right thing is unacceptable. One way that the SOX Act has been amended is that the statutory filing period for retaliation complaints has been extended from 90 days to 180 days after the date on which the violation occurs, or the date on which the employee became aware of the violation. A section was also amended to state that the rights and remedies provided for may not be waived by any agreement, policy form, or condition of employment, including by a pre-dispute arbitration agreement. So for more information about the ways that OSHA enforces whistleblower provisions, you can find a link in the resources section of this podcast. And Alan, you have a story about an NTSB forum?
So with the high number of profiled cases involving train, truck, and car collisions over the last month or so, the National Transportation Safety Board, also known as the NTSB, is planning to hold a public forum on March 24th to March 25th to address the dangers of trespassing on the railroad right-of-way. Now, while railroad tracks have been a cultural staple and is synonymous in American culture, it's important to keep in mind that they are also private property and can pose great safety risk. And just to give you an idea of the dangers of trespassing on railroads, we want to provide you with a stat release from the Federal Railroad Administration, which found that 476 people were killed and 432 were injured in trespassing incidents. So based on the findings, you can see that this is definitely a cause for concern. So the forum entitled Trains and Trespassing Ending Tragic Encounters will be chaired by NTSB board member Robert L. Sumwalt. It will feature speakers who have been seriously injured by trains, those whose communities have been affected, and Railroad Employee Assistance Program employees whose train crews have struck people on railroad property. The forum will draw on expertise of railroads, regulators, and researchers, among others, to review the diversity of trespassing accidents and incidents and look at current and future prevention strategies. The forum will be held at the NTSB's Boardroom and Conference Center located at 429 Lafont Plaza in Washington, D.C. However, on March 25th, the forum will include a tour of North Fork Southern Safety Train at Union Station. The public can view the forum in person or by live webcast on the NTSB's website. And stay tuned to our podcast in the upcoming weeks as we will be providing you with more details about the forum as soon as they are available. And in the meantime, if you're looking to learn more about the forum, be sure to check out the resource section of this podcast. And that concludes this week's EHS podcast. As always, thanks for tuning in. And if you'd like to learn more about any of the stories that we covered, be sure to check out the resource links.